pest control industry is like no other. If you want to learn the strategy and tactics to grow your pest control business, you're in the right place. This is the Pesty Marketing Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Pesty Podcast, where we talk about growing your pest control company. I am here today with Anthony Hoshino, who has some really cool industry experience from several different angles, starting from door-to-door sales, going into digital marketing, and leading a fast-growing and now certainly one of the largest, maybe not top 10, but certainly one of the largest pest control companies in the country when you consider how most companies are solo operators. And now Anthony is running a company called Fios, which is solving a huge pain point in the industry, helping with sales enablement for pest control operators, starting with solo operators, who I know need a lot of help with that. We'll talk about Anthony's experience in the industry starting out, get a little bit of history of who he is, where he comes from, what his background is, his experience growing a pest control company, and as well, why he started Fios, the problem that he saw, and what they're doing now, which is they're doing some pretty amazing things. I've had a chance to look at the software. He sent me a really cool video of a new feature they have last night that I very directly told him I thought was badass. So we'll talk about that and how he's leveraging AI. But to start, Anthony, welcome to the pod. I appreciate coming on.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Can you give the audience some background on who you are, starting from the top and where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a fun journey in this industry. I started in this industry about 10 years ago. A friend of mine had a pest control company and brought me in, and I started doing some door-to-door sales, and I did that for about a year. I quickly realized that it was not what I wanted to be doing. But I did know that I loved growing this business and working with this company. And so I went to him and I said, you know what, there's got to be a way that we can do this without having to knock on doors. And so that took us down the journey of getting into digital marketing and focusing on growing online. And through that experience, we were able to bring in some very key talent onto our team and really focus on building that online presence. And we were able to use that to scale the company very quickly. The company went from about, I'm gonna say, $300,000 in revenue per year to about $5-6 million in 4 years. And since then, over the past following 5 years, has scaled to, like, as you mentioned, be a top 100 company in the nation. I think they're actually top 40 or top 30 if you look at total revenue ranking and things like that. So it was a pretty amazing journey and just learned a lot. I've sold more pest control over the phone than I can imagine anybody may have in their lifetime, working 12 hours a day, pretty much 7 days a week for 5 years straight. Take a lot of calls.
Grinding it out. Yeah.
And so I did that for a while, and I realized, you know, I think there's a part of this that I enjoy, and it wasn't so much the day-to-day of running this pest control company, but what I really enjoyed was focusing on growth and online and digital and sales. And so I made a shift to focus on that and started Fios about 4 years ago now, 3 or 4 years. And originally the goal was to help as many pest control companies as possible grow, whether that was them needing digital services or whether they needed help with sales and training or coaching or whatever it was. That's what I wanted to do. And so I started down that path. And
that was, were you essentially a consultant at that point?
Yeah, essentially I was a consultant, but I was also providing services ranging from digital advertising all the way to actually doing sales. And so I actually sold for a couple companies over the last few years in addition to the original, and once again proved that this works. I can do this anywhere. So that was good, right? The concept was, you know, I did it for one company, and then I did it for another, and then I did it for other in other states. And so I realized, wow, this really works everywhere.
And were you, when you were working with these companies, and when you say it worked everywhere, were you working with companies that were already established, already had a sales force that you could go in and train? Or were these solo operators, like what was the, who was it working for specifically?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Companies? So the first company that I went and started providing these services to actually had zero sales force. They didn't have any salespeople. They were growing purely based on acquisition, which I think a lot of people do. It's kind of a way that in the history of pest control, a lot of companies have grown is through acquisition. And there's some really big companies, obviously, that have grown that way, but they had no...
When you say acquisition, like was what kind of acquisition?
Acquiring other pest control companies. So slowly purchasing other companies over time.
Right.
And so you have companies that have been open for 20 years and they've been able to buy one or two or three companies or four companies, however many it is, right, over that time. And so they've gotten to a few million dollars a year, depending on the purchases. And so it was really interesting to come into a business like that again, because it was another business that had no digital presence, right? I'm like, can I do this again, right? And I did, and it worked. And we instantly were able to go, you know, start selling $1 million a year in revenue right out the gate.
And that was through, what exactly were you applying into these other companies? Was it digital strategy? So can you break that down a little bit?
Yeah. And
what was this rinse and repeat model?
Absolutely. And something that I know Pesty is really good at as well. So we focus on a lot of paid search, right? So Google Ads, Yelp Ads, SEO, of course, making sure that there's a website that is findable, right? Very visible, but that also converts. And that's always big. You want, if your website is not built to convert, there's no point to have a website. That's what it is, right? And so
it's a salesperson. It's your online salesperson.
It really is. And so by putting that in place, you're able to have something that's going to catch the leads and funnel them to you. And so that's what I did again. And it worked great. And we did that for about 3 years. And like I said, we were selling about $1 million a year. And that was just with, I think for most of it myself, you know, I'm a pretty capable salesperson. So I can probably sell about $1 million a year by myself pretty easily. I brought on one other person at the end because things were scaling and the rest of the business. And so I wasn't able to take as many calls, but I was able to train them in the exact same approach in terms of sales, and it worked great. And so I then went another direction, which was, okay, how about a company that's already doing this, right? And so there was a company out in Florida that I got connected with. And, you know, that was more of, okay, you guys are already doing this. You're online, you have the presence, you're doing these things, but your sales approach is off. So can I just take the coaching aspect? Can I teach you guys how to sell and make a huge change in your performance? And so when I came in, their conversion rate was about 50%. And today their conversion rate is about 85%. So little shifts and little changes in just the sales process. And we were able to make a huge difference there as well. Once again, just showing that, you know, these things are possible anywhere, which is really cool.
And I think what's interesting, and you and I have talked about this before, is I think what will be hard for some pest control operators to wrap their head around is they think their conversion rate is 85%, 90%, 95%. And I hear that all the time when I talk to you know, potential clients.
It's like the magic number. And I don't know why everyone says that every time. Every time.
Every time they think the number is so high. And then, you know, but as soon as I ask them, cool, show me the data.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, well, I just know. It's just, you know,
we answered about this many calls yesterday and we got this many sales. So that it must be.
So when but what you found out pretty quickly, and what I know to be true as well, is that companies are really only closing. I think if you're really bad, you're not picking up the phone, you're slow to get back to people, maybe you're only closing one out of every three. And if you're halfway decent, but you don't have the right systems in place, maybe you're closing 50%. Does that sound about right to you too?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say the low end about 30%. And then that middle range is probably 50 to 60%.
Yeah, absolutely. So you went into this Florida company and you trained them and you took them from 50 to 85, 80 to 85%.
Yeah.
And then where did you go from there?
So at this point, what I started realizing was there's a lot of ways to advertise and get traffic these days, right? And then there's a lot of marketing companies and, you know, and those services are great. But what I kept seeing over and over and over again is something you touched on a second ago, which was they didn't have the systems that actually allowed them to track what was happening effectively, get a full picture of what the reality is, you know, how many leads do you actually have coming in? Where are they coming from? Right. And what are you really converting? And so there's so many companies and they're making these budget decisions and spending decisions without a ton of data. And so I started to make a shift and I wanted to provide solutions to these companies so that they can see these things and do these things and something, you know, and some of these things can really make sense versus just getting a, you know, an analytics report or an ads report and try to make sense of that from one side. And so I started to make this shift from actually, you know, doing sales and providing consulting and advertising services into providing tools and software that would really allow these companies not only to have that data, but then also become more effective by using things like automation to make sure that their sales process is in place, because I can only install myself into so many companies, right? And the first owner I worked for really said something that resonated with me was, just, you're very good. And if you want to be great, you need to be able to replicate yourself over and over and over and again. And the possibilities are endless. And so I thought, well, how can I replicate myself into 100 businesses? There's no way. And so I found through software that it was possible. And so not exactly replicating myself, but I could replicate my process and I could provide that to owners in a way that they could implement it into their business really easily and at scale. And it's just been huge. And I've been doing that now for about 2 years, going on 3, and I've been able to do it now for big companies and small companies and startups, and it just works everywhere. So it's been really fun.
So it sounds like you figured out this automation thing after you left the pest control company that you had originally helped grow, EcoGuard. You went out, you were in a consulting role, you were providing services, helping execute. And then the aha moment was when you realized that that was not scalable. But in thinking about what was scalable, it was the answer was software. And you start building the software a few years ago, and you know, you just iterated and iterated and iterated. And that is what is now Fios, and it's working. I mean, you've shown me, I've known, you know, now having been in the pest control marketing space for a couple of years, more seriously for the last, you know, going on year and a half, I've seen exactly what Fios does and how it solves the biggest problem that pest control companies have, which is this leaky bucket, right? So
yeah.
I can bring them leads all day, but if they're only closing 1 out of every 3 or half the leads I'm bringing them, and these are good, highly qualified, high intent leads,
right.
I listen in on the calls, you know, because we do phone call tracking. I mean, money is just like sand through their fingers, it you know, and it becomes very expensive, especially running Google Ads, because yeah. It's so competitive on Google Ads. You know, when you're paying anywhere from, if you're lucky on the low end in rural areas, a $10 cost per click, and on the high end, you know, $20 to $25 cost per click, you damn well better be closing those leads because it's so expensive. And when we get hired, often these pest control companies, in particular solo operators, they expect us to almost close the leads for them. And unless the automation is in place, you really can't do that. Now, even with the automation in place, they still have to do a lot of the heavy lifting,
sure.
Right? They still have to respond to the text, pick up the phone, close the deals. I mean, they got to be on their game. But the automation and the tracking and all those things, illuminate the problems in the business and then ultimately solve those problems. So help me understand what specific kind of automations, like if you could give me a top three, you could go to a pest control company and say like, what are the top three automations that they need to put in place? Wave a magic wand, do it today or as quickly as possible. Is that top three? Can you answer that?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say top three, in my opinion, are speed to lead. So instantly connecting with the leads that come through, whether that is through an automated text, automated email, or my personal favorite, which I call Quick Connect. So a lead will come in and we have an automation that'll run. It will essentially take an inbound lead from a website form, for example, and it'll turn it into an inbound phone call. So it'll call the sales rep. It'll prompt them, hey, you have a new lead, press one to connect. They'll press one and it'll auto dial the new lead. So there is no more checking your email. You're right. No, checking your email, seeing the number, dialing the customer. It's just the lead's coming in, the automation's running, you're calling the customer. And so everything becomes just an inbound phone call. So speed to lead is huge. I mean, we see in my experience, I've seen that, you know, anytime you wait longer than 3 minutes to contact a lead, conversion drops like 80%. It's insane. And that's not just pest control. That's throughout a bunch of industries. So we know that. The second one for me would be follow-up, sales follow-up, following up on your leads. So many companies are taking that first call, and if it's not closed, it's just dying, as you mentioned, in the bucket.
On to the next
one. They're on to the next one, or they're on to, you know, or it's an owner-operator, right? And they're on to a service. And so they're not going back, and maybe they don't have good notes, or maybe they're not just remembering to follow up, or, you know, whatever it is. And so we automated follow-up, and that has been just huge. And what's worked really well is through text. And so we'll essentially have a lead if it sits in a pending stage for X amount of time. Usually we'll do a day. Some companies like to do it sooner, but a day is pretty average. And so the system will actually send out an automated text from the person that they spoke to, right? So, you know, hey, Andrew, it's Anthony. Just wanted to follow up, see if you had any questions on that estimate I sent you. And you do it conversationally, not like a robot, right? And
this is what you sent me last night, right?
It's a version of what I sent you last night. What I sent you last night is kind of where this is all going.
It's like a beta,
this is
right?
It's the future of automation, so, in my opinion.
Let's break away from the top three real quick. Like what you showed me last night, I was like just tickled silly about how cool it was. I think a lot of listeners, if nothing else, have heard of ChatGPT.
Yep.
They've heard of AI. It's hard to avoid. It's kind of like the hype around it is a little bit like Bitcoin, you know, 2020.
Yeah.
And to some degree, it's a lot of maybe too much hype because there's a lot of excitement and it's a lot of it's still about the opportunity, and to actually implement and execute on it is not nearly as straightforward. But you've managed to implement a process that, I mean, when a lead contacts the pest control company using your system and they get the response back, it feels like an actual person is texting them.
Yeah.
Down to a misspelling of a word in the last text. maybe we will pair this podcast with a little preview of what you showed me last night in like a little video, because it was just so cool.
Yeah.
And it just, you couldn't tell the difference between this AI that was responding and an actual person. And, you know, eventually there's a handoff, but it was really amazing. And the fact that this technology is available to, you know, the little guy, right? A small pest control operator who doesn't have some crazy budget. I mean, this was just not possible 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And the power, you know, the capabilities. So it was so cool what you showed me. I know that's where things are headed. And I know you spent a lot of time really trying to be on the cutting edge and building the perfect solution for for pest control operators. So number one, speed to lead. Number two, the follow-up, leveraging automation. And then
number three is the reviews and the referrals, which creates the loop of new leads coming back into the business. And it's funny that you mentioned what I sent you last night, because that essentially is what we've done, is we've taken those top three and completely automated it through what we're calling our, you know, our pest AI system. And so the system, when a lead comes in, the system engages them, speaks to them through text. It provides an estimate. It automatically follows up to close the sale, and then will automatically request a review, request a referral, reply to the review on Google, and just make it go round and round and round.
I mean, you are automating the work of a full-time employee.
Correct. Yeah.
I mean, it's for, right? And so for a few hundred bucks a month, they are getting what 6 months ago would have cost them, let's call it 40 grand a year in a full-time, you know, administrative person.
Yeah.
Except your automation works 24/7. Never calls in sick. Never calls in sick, never complains.
Yeah.
Will pivot as soon as you tell it to.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And I'm curious, I want to double click on the referral system you have. It's not something we've ever touched on. It's something we've considered. Well, what do those numbers look like using the automation system, the referral system? What does a referral funnel look like through all the testing that you've done when it's done well?
Yeah, it honestly is amazing. We have companies that are not even running ads, and they're just literally using referral systems. For example, good friend of mine and also client, Travis Bottoms, owner of Polite Pest Control, does a really good job at this. They almost completely operate based on referrals, and they're growing exponentially. I think they're going to hit about, you know, they're in their third year of business, owner operator. They'll do about $1 million this year, you know, about double what they did last year. And so it's just amazing to see what a company can do when they actually leverage the power of community and social media and referrals. And so, you know, tapping into that whole concept, we just realized that if we can automate a piece of that, it can work really well and companies can grow from that. And so building the reputation, getting the referrals, and just letting that come back into the business so that they're not just having to run guerrilla marketing and, you know, spend a bunch of money on ads, which I do recommend, you know, or just hope that SEO eventually catches up and it starts working really well, right? I mean, that's the game that we've all been playing for so long. And so people need to realize, like, you have these opportunities in front of you every single day. If you just ask every single customer for a referral, and if each customer gives you one person, you just doubled your business.
And how does that, I would love to understand the numbers better. So are you getting in the numbers that you're seeing, and maybe you don't have a huge data set, right? Because you don't necessarily have every company who's implemented this,
yeah.
even though you recommend it, right? Not everyone is going to leverage it to the degree that they should. In the case of Polite, I don't know if you can speak to their numbers, or just maybe more broadly, is it like one out of every 10 when it's done correctly and you're providing a good service that customers are happy with? Is it one out of every 10 customers is going to refer someone that, you know, ends up signing up? Is it one out of every 5? Is it one out of every 20?
Yeah. I wish I had a data set on that. And unfortunately I don't. It is very different from company to company. I mean, it really depends on the experience that you're giving your customers. Also, if you're offering them something, how do you have it set up? Are they getting a gift? Are they getting a credit? So I don't have a good answer for you on that, but I can tell you that it works. It really does. And it doesn't have a fraction of the cost that any other type of growth does. And what it really does is it creates a lot of loyalty, and it's a really easy sell. Because it's somebody coming from somebody that trusts you. They trust them. It's a no-brainer, right? It's a totally different experience than somebody clicking on an ad and calling into your company. They're literally just calling in to sign up, right? So it's just awesome.
I would imagine, like, my theory is that the customer acquisition cost is dramatically lower And right, so you have a lot of room to incentivize, to give a sweet deal to the customer, to the prospective customer, the referral who's coming on, right? And you want to make your customer feel good about the fact that they are referring their friend. Some data shows that a 50-50 split in incentives is really good because it feels awkward as a customer if I am the only one benefiting from referring someone else. It's like uncomfortable. So something along the lines of you get a $50 credit on your next service, your friend gets $50 off, however you want to run that special. And I would also venture to guess that the customer lifetime value of someone being referred is better, right? Because on the low end of customer lifetime value is door-to-door, right? Door-to-door, those contracts worth, from my understanding, about half as much to another company purchasing those contracts because door-to-door customer lifetime value is lower.
Yeah.
Right? You're going out and you're doing things in a way where you're making sales happen, right? You're expanding market share, you're creating demand. Then, a step up from that is going to be inbound marketing, Google Ads, SEO, all those things, because someone has sought you out and has done their research and is contacting you because they have some level of trust and you have credibility with them. But above all of that is always going to be a referral, right? That word of mouth marketing.
Yes.
So if you can automate that, and especially, I think what a lot of, I can already hear pest control operators, refuting this and saying, people call you when they have bugs, right? So like, you're not going to refer a friend because they're not just going to find bugs. They pick up the phone when they see a bug, and so they never try. The percentage of customers, percentage of pest control companies with a good referral program in place, because they sort of assume it will fail before it even begins, is so low. But clearly that's not the case.
Yeah. And I mean, it's what people don't realize is that maybe it's not even a family member or a friend, right? Maybe it's your neighbor. You think you have bugs and the person next door doesn't, right? And so, I mean, I know for a fact that one day I saw my neighbor getting gutters put on. And so I asked, hey, can I get my gutters done? Right. And then the guy across the street, hey, can I get my gutters done? Right. So it's like, you never know. You never know who they're saying hi to in the morning. You never know what conversations they're having. And so why not? Right. You're not going to lose a customer because you asked if anybody else needs your help. And that's the biggest thing. So just if you can do it every time, you're going to generate customers. It's just a no-brainer.
Also, so much of sales is about timing.
Right.
Right. And it's the same reason the follow-up is so important.
Yeah.
Because you never know when someone is going to be ready to make the buying decision. I mean, in some cases, there are signals and you can, someone's actively seeking services out, but you don't necessarily know when one neighbor is going to talk to the other and complain about their pest control company and how they're still seeing bugs. And you want to be top of mind when that conversation happens and ready to pounce on that opportunity.
Especially now with social media and everything too. I mean, I see it all the time in my little, community Facebook group. People are asking, hey, does anybody know someone who does this? Does anybody have this? And, they're just throwing names out there. And it's like, people share. They do. And they're happy to if you're providing a quality service. And so if you can provide a quality service and you can make, you make that request of, hey, if you know anybody that needs me, would love to help. They're going to share your name. When somebody asks the question of, does anybody have a bug guy? Does anybody else have ants? Is anybody else dealing with spiders? Right. And so they're going to share, don't be afraid to tap into that. You're right. People kind of just assume it doesn't work. And so they just don't do it. And it's huge.
So I want to dig into, let's take a step back. Cause so far we've been talking a lot about automation in the sales process, which and it's a huge problem. So that's why I spent the first hour hashing that out. I want to take a step back and talk about marketing and how do you get people into your sales funnel to begin with, especially because you have so much transparency into the sales side of things. what are your recommendations around the channels that work? Starting with, because context matters, starting with a solo operator who doesn't have much in terms of funds,
yep,
all the way up to a company that does have a treasure chest to fuel the fire.
Right.
So think with those contexts in mind, what do you recommend?
Yeah. So I think, you know, starting from, like you said, you know, if you're on square one, the first and most important thing that you can do is make yourself findable. And some of the best ways to do that, in my opinion, are through all of the free resources that we have, right? Obviously, you know, a website might not be free, but a website's really important start. You got to have a website so somebody has somewhere to go from online to you to the phone. And from there, you know, Google Business Profile is huge. Having an optimized Google Business Profile, that alone can help a business get off the ground. And then creating as many free profiles as you can. Put yourself on Facebook, put yourself on Instagram, put yourself on Yelp, create a, you know, Nextdoor profile, Thumbtack, any platform that allows you to create a profile, even if you're not spending money on ads, do it. Be findable, be everywhere, be visible, you know, and that, to me, that's honestly the most important first step. From there, obviously, you move into the paid search side of things where you start running ads on different platforms. And so, you know, for a smaller company, I always usually recommend services like Google Local Service Ads, because for some owners, they can almost essentially run it themselves. They, you know, you might not necessarily need an agency to do it. Yes, an agency might do it better, more effectively, but it's not, you know, it's not,
but not much, right? I mean,
yeah.
Local service ads really are, it's so basic.
It really is. So basic. I mean, you can do it yourself, you know, with a little bit of instruction, you can do it yourself. And so that's a great place to start. And it's a pay per lead platform versus a pay per click platform, where if you don't know what you're doing on pay per click, you're just throwing money at the fire. Here you go. Take it, right? Yeah. Here you go, Google. I'm donating to you this month. So that's
real quick. So I'm surprised. With solo operators, you sort of alluded to a big player, which is HomeAdvisor. And it, with local service ads, you mentioned the pay-per-lead model. Are there any pay-per-lead companies out there that you feel confident mentioning and sort of freely promoting? Because I don't personally know, I don't know pay-per-lead companies well enough to know if it's worth spending money. I do know of a couple out there, but I don't know the quality of their leads. And I typically hear, when it comes to the pay-per-lead companies, I typically don't hear good things. And so I never have a really strong recommendation.
And the challenge that I've seen across so many companies when it comes to pay-per-lead is most of these platforms are providing those leads to multiple companies. Like you mentioned, HomeAdvisor, right? Angie's List, Thumbtack. And so most pay-per-lead models are not dedicated or direct leads. And so the problem becomes, are you able to be responsive enough and manage it well enough to actually capitalize from those platforms? And so it's hard for me to say, you know, I've had a lot of success with Thumbtack, for example, right? But it's not so much the platform as how you use it and how you manage it and how you actually engage with it. And so that's, you know, that's the biggest factor there. You know, I think it's different in every area. I talk to companies all over the US constantly. And some companies do really well with Yelp. Some companies do really well with Thumbtack. Some companies swear by Angie. Some like HomeAdvisor, right? There's Baton. There's so many out there. And so everybody kind of finds what works for them. But the overlying factor is a lot of them can work in most places if you're engaging with them effectively.
Got it. So solo operator, step one, make yourself easy to find.
Yeah.
Create as many free directories, in particular on the larger obvious platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Nextdoor.
Cool.
Which, by the way, guys, if you don't know, Nextdoor is an app for neighborhoods. Quite useful. Yelp.
Yeah.
Google Business Profile. All of these things are free. They just require your time. And then when you say make yourself discoverable, It's also, I suppose, a bit about engaging with these communities, right? Yeah. Because making yourself discoverable is a good first step. To take it a step further, because you have more time than money, you really need to be paying attention to the conversations happening on these platforms, in particular, things like a Facebook group or a Nextdoor app, so that when the opportunity arises and someone's asking about a pest control company,
you're on it.
You can throw your hand up and say, that's what we do. Then once you have a little bit of money, you can segue into some paid options, things like local service ads, things like, you know, if you're prepared to pick up every phone call or close to it, Angie's List, Thumbtack, Home Advisor, right? Those can all be good, but you have to recognize that you've got to really be on top of those calls.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're going to quickly be throwing money away. And in terms of a next step, because you mentioned doing advertising on Yelp before, which is not an arena we've entered. We've just focused on search so far. How does Yelp compare to Google in terms of advertising? I know Yelp is much more hands-off. It's much, you have like, you know, basically no control other than creating an offer.
Right.
And then it just shows your profile. But it's easy, simple in that sense.
Yeah, it can be managed by an owner. There are agencies that do it really well. And on the agency side, you do get a bit more control over how you can actually run Yelp ads. But the tricky part with Yelp is that it varies from location to location. So I've seen some states where it works really well and some states where people don't use Yelp, right? And so you have to really look at your market and your demographic and your community and make sure that that's a platform that people are actually engaging with. You know, in comparison to Google, Google is the universal, right? Like everybody uses Google. And so Google is always my top recommendation to any company that really wants to grow. You need to focus on Google because it's the biggest player. And so whether that's through Google local service ads, you know, whether that's through Google PPC or of course SEO, Google is where you're going to scale. So, you know, anyone from starting out to, as you mentioned, the big guys that are just wanting to dump gas on the fire, everything for me always leads back to Google as a primary source of revenue.
And now let's take a view higher up. In terms of what should pest control operators reasonably expect to spend on customer acquisition cost? You know, what we've talked about before is a percentage of first year revenue, right? And so that is going to, which makes a ton of sense in particular because every state, every city is going to be different. You know, we have some clients who, your first year revenue is $400.
Right.
On the low end. We have, you know, other clients where first year revenue is $620. And we don't have any clients who are on the high end. Actually, that's not true. We have one client who their first year revenue, what they want is $1,000. And in the right markets and with the right positioning, that is possible.
The right value.
So let's talk about how should pest control operators be thinking about customer acquisition in terms of the numbers?
No, that's a great question. And I think in the past, you know, the standard verbiage from agencies, which I hear from owners because they've gone through that process and gone through multiple agencies is always, you know, cost per click, cost per lead, impressions and these things, this is data that you can know, but at the end of the day, you know, we want to actually focus on is what does it cost you to get a customer, like you said. And so, by looking at that as a percent to revenue, it just gives you a more realistic number that you can use to budget and plan and grow your business. And so what I have always targeted for is under 50%. In terms of digital. So you want to make sure that you're not, you know, your cost compared to the revenue that's coming in from those customers is less than 50% of that first year's revenue. And that seems to be a pretty obtainable goal across the board in most markets. Ideally closer down to the 20 to 30% mark. But, you know, as long as you're under 50% and you're charging a decent amount for initial services and things like that, so you're not losing a bunch of money out the gate, that generally becomes a pretty scalable target.
Yeah, and I think where a lot of pest control companies get themselves into trouble is when they compete on price and they charge too little, you really start to run into trouble in terms of your ability to scale the company. Yeah. What I've seen, companies who have the most trouble scaling often are the ones who they jump right into a quarterly service rather than going out for an initial treatment with a 30-day follow-up.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have different reasons for doing that, but it gets them into trouble financially, because when they try to compete with other companies who do that and therefore are willing to burn more cash to acquire customers, you know, they just end up kind of getting slaughtered, if you will, in the arena of competing online, because other companies are willing to provide a better offer, to spend more money to drive up that cost per click because they can. You know, and those are the companies also who are willing to deal with a longer payback period, right? Like, I know for some pest control marketers and operators listening, they are thinking to themselves, are you insane? 50% that, right? And you've probably dealt with those conversations as well, where someone looks at you like you're crazy when you say 50%. And I think what they don't realize is that is trying to grow aggressively, and it is not uncommon at the top. Yeah. I just had a conversation with the CMO of a pest control company who, they're one of those companies that, you know, are usually around for a few years. They scale with door to door and with some digital, and then they turn around and sell like a Terminix, you know, so they'll go from zero to several millions of dollars in revenue. They'll become like a top 20, top 30 company and then go sell the company. Yes. They're just really good at that. And their first year revenue goal is $820. Their customer acquisition cost goal was $400. So you have to realize, as a pest control owner trying to compete, that is who you are competing with.
Right.
You are competing with serious people, serious business operators who are willing to spend money and lose money for a decent period of time. And actually, that brings up another question I have. What is for a company that is trying to scale and wants to compete and grow at a decent pace, I don't know if you have the answer to this. What is a reasonable payback period? You know, what does a pest control company expect as a payback period from a, you know, annual service kind of customer?
Yeah. I mean,
and Ed, let me know did that make sense, the way I phrased that payback period?
Like, how long does somebody need to be a customer before it's profitable?
Correct.
When you're growing that way. Yeah. I think from what I've seen, it's usually the first 12 to sometimes 24 months, depending on what the cost is. You know, and usually it's the first year you may, you know, break even, maybe lose a little bit, right? Or not lose, but invest, you should say. And then hopefully at second year, there's profit. And then, you know, I think we've seen on average lifetime value of a pest control customer is somewhere between 4 to 7 years for most companies.
Wow, 4 to 7 years. That's really interesting. I actually thought it was 3.5 years.
Is it?
Why did I think that?
I don't
have hard
recently
data.
I've been seeing it be longer. So I could be wrong. And maybe it's 3 to 5 years. But, you know, I know that 4-year mark is pretty standard. And so, you know, that's what you need to look at especially when you're selling reoccurring services. And mind you, everything I'm talking about is focusing on reoccurring services. So maybe I should have started with that. For the companies that are out there selling one-time services or selling non-reoccurring services of any kind, obviously don't go spend 50% on your marketing, but reoccurring services, which is really the name of the game here, right? It's reoccurring. And you know, it's something that any company who's going to actually grow and scale aggressively is going to be focusing on. And I always say there's two types of companies in this industry. There's pest control companies and there's marketing companies. When I say marketing companies, I mean they are pest control companies, but they're not. They're marketing companies that are selling pest control services, and those are the companies that are growing faster than everybody else versus the guy who's just out there wanting to sell pest control. That's the huge difference.
And speaking of one-time services, when you were doing your consulting and working with pest control companies, one-time services, unless you just refuse to do them,
sure,
they are going to come around. Were there any specific strategies you had, or are there automations that you built into Fios that help upsell those one-time services into recurring customers?
Yeah. So we actually have an automation that's built in where if you sell a one-time service, we use that almost as like a trial, a paid trial, if you will. So after, if your one-time service guarantee is 30 days, right? After 30 days, the system will actually automatically reach out to that customer, thank them for doing the service. And then it goes through basically a conversation reiterating that, you know, our products only last so long. We're really grateful that you tried us out. Hopefully you really like the experience. At this time right now, this is when we would normally come back or, you know, reschedule or go to that next step. We'd like to offer you a special offer to actually continue on with our service. And so we've built that into an automation based on how they respond to that. If they respond great, yes, cool, done, another sale, right? You've upsold. If they respond no, we actually put them into a 1-year wait period. And the following year, we then automatically reach out offering them another one-time service because there's all those customers that just want to do one service per year. And so no matter what, we are taking a one-time service and turning it into a reoccurring service by at least getting that once per year and just automating the entire process.
I feel like such a nerd with how excited I get about you talk. Like, this turns me on a little bit, talking about upselling a one-time service into with these automations in place.
Another opportunity that a lot of companies don't really capitalize on. They just sell the one-time service and they move on to the next call. So
100%.
By automating it, it's a no-brainer. Why not give it a shot? You can't lose anything.
What about customer lifetime value? I mean, because that's a huge swing, right? You mentioned 4 to 7 years. That is, at scale, you are talking about potentially hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars when a customer sticks around for either 4 years or 7 years. I mean, that the stability of your business, the profitability of your business,
yeah,
is huge. So what if you have any experience in this realm, do you have any advice for how to keep customers for as long as possible, for longer? Like, what are the tactics and things that can, like, really specifically be put in place to maximize customer lifetime value?
Yeah. I mean, the first one I think is probably pretty obvious, but it's provide a great service, right? Solve the problem, give them a great customer experience. The other one,
and double click on that. Like, what are there specific types of things? Like, is it about providing, obviously, making sure the bugs, you know, sure, making sure pests aren't around, right? So that's at the base, at the heart of that, there is that. But then are there little things that can provide a sense of delight and joy about the experience that you provide? You, yeah, know, is it a specific amount of time that a customer should never have to, you know, be on hold for? Like, when someone calls in, someone needs to be answering the phone within 60 seconds or people start to get irritated.
Yeah.
Is it something to do with the door hanger you leave? Is it customer satisfaction surveys and catching people who are unhappy? Like, can you get a little more tactical?
Yeah. I think one of the things I see a lot is kind of like out of sight, out of mind. So a lot of companies will just have their tech servicing the customers, and as long as they don't hear anything, everything's good, right? But, you know, that's not always the case. So, you know, communicating with your customers consistently, you know, making sure that you're notifying them when you're coming around. People have this fear that if you, like, remind people that they have a pest control service, they might cancel it. That's not the case, you know?
Yeah. Or like, they'll call you out to reservice them.
Yeah.
Right?
People like to know they're protected.
Avoid the reservices.
Right. And on the customer service side, you know, if somebody calls in, you know, and has a problem, you are not there to defend the company. You're there to help the person receive the help that they need. That's your job. And I do this exercise that I learned from another friend of mine in the industry, Jim Steed, who owns Neighborly Pest Management. He taught me this a while back, and I've used it in training. You know, as you're training your office reps, oftentimes we'll role play, right? And the common practice of role play is to have people to stand face to face, right? I am the rep, you are the customer, and I am talking to you. And what he taught me was take both people and point them at a computer. And what you've done is you've now taken the employee and the customer, and you've put them on the same team. And the computer represents the company. And so now the employee and the customer are working together to get what they need out of the company. And that alone is huge for a customer to feel, because they don't feel like they're calling in and you're defending the company, right? I have a problem. Oh, well, I have to defend my company because they're saying I have a problem or they're upset. No, I'm so sorry to hear that. Let me solve that for you. I am your advocate, right? And you don't have to trash your company, but don't argue with a customer. It's customer service 101, right? And so that I think is huge. Just communicating well with your customers and providing that great experience, like you said, beyond killing the bugs, right? Whether it's that reminder notification or whether it's who they speak to being a happy, nice person when they call into the office, or making sure that the phone is answered. And if the phone isn't answered, let's do some automation where they get an automatic text saying, I'm so sorry we missed your call. How can we help? Right? Like, again, let's try to automate as much as possible and do that type of thing as well. So, you know, overall experience, you just want them to be really happy. And the goal is when they have a problem, they are happy to call you because they know that you're going to solve it. It's not, I have a problem. Ugh, I got to call my pest control company. It's, oh no, I have a problem. I better call my pest control company because they're going to come out and they're going to take care of that for me. So I think if you can provide that experience to customers all the way through, your lifetime value is going to be a lot higher.
So providing a good service, part of that meaning strong communication, you pick up the phone as quickly as possible. You have a customer service rep, you know, your front office staff don't sound dead inside.
Yeah.
I would say that's mostly what I hear when I listen in on these calls, is a front office person who sounds like they would rather be anywhere but in the office, you know, when they pick up.
Yeah.
Even to the point where when a customer cancels, their response is, okay, what is your address? Not, I'm really sorry to hear that. You know, what caused that? Or, you know, is there anything we can do better? Like, it's really amazing how apathetic most of the calls I listen to are.
Don't answer the phone,
front office.
ABC Pest Control. Right? Answer it. Thank you for calling. This is Anthony. How can I help you? If somebody calls in to cancel, don't say, okay, what's your address? Say, I am so sorry to hear that. Where have we fell short that has you canceling today? Ask questions.
So simple. So simple.
It blows my mind how many companies don't try to retain their customers. And they think they are, right? The owners are always like, oh yeah, we have a process for that. That's not what's happening. Somebody's calling in, they're saying, I need to cancel my service. And the person on the other side of the phone is immediately shutting down. They don't want the conflict, right? Because they're in defense mode. And they're just taking the information and letting the customer go. And 9 times out of 10, it's as simple as, I am so sorry to hear that. Where have we fell short? And the customer says, oh, well, I wanted the backyard done last time and you guys didn't do it. I am so sorry about that. You know what? I have somebody in your area tomorrow. How about I have them come by and we'll take care of that for free? Oh, okay. Great. That'd be great. It's literally like 9 times out of 10. It's something like that. And it's just asking.
Yeah, questions. I would love to. One of my goals with Pesty is to do a lot more financial modeling around scenarios such as churn and what a difference it can make over the course of, you know, several years.
Sure.
If you're able to reduce your churn by, you know, 50% with the right kind of training your front office staff, and to, yeah, there's a lot. We're kind of playing with on the back end that we don't really have in place to share, but it's amazing what a difference that can make.
Absolutely.
You know, the things that are maybe less obvious because everyone is focused on, like you said, Google and search and, you know, some of the things that, well, this is what everyone else does, but some of the less obvious things that people don't realize are just burning a hole in their, companies don't realize are burning a hole in their pocket. So customer lifetime value, saving your customers, reducing churn, a front office staff that's happy. And, you know, some companies have a hard time with hiring, mm-hmm. you know, or at least that's what they blame when it comes to
sure.
having a difficult time. And it's not to say that's not true. I do wonder, though, you know, how much of it really comes down to the proper training and, you know, having the right systems in place and simply listening into phone calls. I think if your front office staff just knew that there were random, you know, check-ins and that phone calls were recorded and then received feedback, you know, the right kind of feedback, I think that would go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
But I know in my experience with, you know, we use CallRail for our call tracking system. Every call that comes through a marketing channel is recorded.
Yes.
And I don't have a single client who has spent time listening in on those phone calls.
It amazes me how everybody, it seems like most companies, they always assume that people know how to handle a phone call well, right? It's just like people don't, they don't train. They don't train for it. They just assume you know how to answer a phone, right? Like everyone answers phone. And it's so simple. And I tell people all the time, like, look, if you're having a trouble converting or you don't feel like you're doing a good job at turning these calls into customers, I want you to take a step back and do these things. Listen, empathize, engage, and connect. It's that simple.
It's a great framework.
It's really
it's a great
that
framework.
Simple. You know, and that's not what happens in most cases. And the companies that do that really well are the companies that are converting for real 90 to 95% of their calls.
For real, 90 to 95%.
The companies that are not doing those, they're not converting. And I see it all. People always complain, oh, somebody called me and then they went with somebody else. I guarantee you they like the other person who answered the phone better. We're all selling the same stuff. Maybe it's $5, $10, $15 difference here or there. It's not price, I promise you. It's the value and the connection that you're making with the person on the other end of the phone. That is what they are buying, 100%.
Sales 101.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you still have time?
I do.
We've run way over. Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about Fios because I think when people hear about all this really cool technology that's available to them, their next thought, and probably when it comes to a lot of the things we're talking about, training employees, improving sales systems, hiring, all this stuff, it's like, yeah, that all sounds great in theory, but in the real world,
right,
everything you're talking about takes time away. It takes time that I don't have or that I don't think I have. And so focusing on Fios specifically, let's set some expectations. You know, how long does it realistically take a business operator or someone who's in the marketing department to implement Fios? And that's a little bit of it's a tough question, right? Because there's like the whole shebang, and for a larger company and training,
say,
where it's gonna be a lot.
It really
but
depends.
Give me some ideas.
Yeah, it really depends on how you are wanting to implement the systems, right? So if you're wanting to just implement some automation, right? If you want your system to automatically be requesting reviews and referrals and you want it to be automatically engaging with customers on your website, like those setups are really, really simple. And so, you know, you can be completely up and running within a week, right? If you are wanting...
Within a week and how many hours would someone have to... How many hours would an operator have to give to setting...
Yeah.
That up? Are we talking like 1 hour,
so
3 hours?
I'd say generally three hours. I'd say there's about an hour of self-guided setup. And then there's two onboarding calls, one for basic setup and one for customization and integration. And
so they're actually, their hand is being held while they go through this
so
process.
We do a lot of handholding. You could say we have a guided tour that helps you set up all your basic settings, which then leads into a 1 hour one-on-one call with our onboarding team, where they help you go further into basic setup, and then a one-on-one hour generally session call with me, where we actually get into customization and automation and really fitting this to your business. Because it's not about the software. The software is just a vessel that I'm using to provide, you know, these solutions to company owners. And so the software itself is not what's special. It's actually taking that software and building a custom solution for every single person using it so that it really fits their business and helps their business in whatever aspect they, right? And so you talk about, you know, these tasks take this much time and this task this much time. And so what can we do to fix that, right? How can we eliminate that piece of your training? You're spending time training your office person to check to see if somebody's service was completed and then to maybe call them or email them and ask if they had a good experience and then request that they go online and give a review. And so, okay, let's take that and automate it, right? Or you're having to train somebody in your office to go and monitor to see when a review comes in. And when it does, you want them to write a nice response and make sure that you're responsive on, you know, for your Google reviews and things like that. And so, okay, let's automate that. So we're eliminating tasks and we're also eliminating the need for training so that you can take those staff members and focus and pin them down onto what they really need to be doing. And so it just focusing on efficiency and it just makes it great. But yeah, I'd say a basic setup, you know, about a week, a more complicated setup where a company wants to really use every aspect in terms of like lead management and tracking and automation and really build it into their entire company's operation rather than maybe having one or two people managing the software itself, you know, then you're probably looking at really like the first month of really integrating and building it into your business. And there's a lot more time that would go into, you know, a setup like that. So it really varies just depending on how you want to use it. And that's kind of why we've decided to launch this new aspect where if you just want an automated piece, we can plug this into any business and it can be up and running in a day. You know, that it's ready to go. There's no work on your end to get it going. So,
got it. Cool. So I think that sets good expectations for people, which is really amazing for a solo operator. Within a week and for 3 hours of your time, you have onboarded a new full-time staff member essentially to work for you 24/7.
Yeah.
And for, you know, a few hundred bucks a month, which is just amazing to me. I'm still wrapping my head around that. So, Anthony, you have been very generous with your time. We have gone well over what's normally expected, but I think this was a value-packed conversation. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you think we would be sorry if we missed it and don't talk about?
To all these solo operators out there who think that they cannot compete with the big companies, you're wrong. Do not shy away from these tactics. Find strategic ways to make these things happen. Find the right partners to work with. If you're going to work with a marketing company, work with one that knows pest control more than anything. And you can absolutely compete and grow no matter what size of companies are around you.
Awesome. A little motivation to finish off the conversation. Thanks again, man. I appreciate it. I'm really excited for what you're doing with Fios. Yeah, this has been great. So until next time, I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Absolutely.
Offline. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, man. Thank you so much.